I want to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most might even consider it the revival text. I know it was preached from in the first revival meetings that I was involved in Grafton, and I'm speaking of 2 Chronicles 7:14. That verse, most of you could probably quote it, but it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I want to preach from this text for a little while tonight in hopes of preparing our hearts to experience genuine revival. The preacher Friday night, most of you were there, he made mention of something that is true, and that Old Testament Israel and the happenings to them can many times be applied to the individual New Testament believer. Even there in the book of 1 Corinthians, God makes direct application to the things that the people of Israel encountered and how they apply to New Testament believers. We're not to commit fornication like Israel did. We're not to commit idolatry like Israel did, that text says. And so you can see how the Old Testament accounts apply to our lives in many respects. And of course, the Old Testament is not written necessarily to New Testament believers, but yet it is there for New Testament believers. It's there for our application. The Bible says it's there for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. And this verse, 2 Corinthians 7:14, is a verse that is directed to the nation of Israel. And so the primary interpretation is to that people. But I think as we look at it, there are certainly things that apply to us as New Testament believers. If you look at verse 1, I don't know if you turn there, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." And so from that verse, you can kind of understand what's taking place here. Solomon has now dedicated the temple. David desired to build it. God said, "No, you're going to have to wait, but I'm going to let your son build it in your stead." And Solomon now has built the temple, and he's in the process of dedicating it. And it says that when he ended his prayer, fire came down from heaven. No doubt this was an amazing happening. It says it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord. It filled the entire house. It says in the next verse that the priests couldn't even enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I don't know, but it seems to me that the people of Israel right here at this time are in the midst of a revival. They are experiencing God's presence in a very unique way. And that's the context in which God gives our text. It's not that the people were at this point in time in need of revival, but God, by virtue of giving verse number 14, demonstrates that He knew there was coming a day when these people would backslide and they would be in need of revival. Verse number 12 says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, Jerusalem, and specifically the temple, to myself for an house of sacrifice." But then notice what he says in verse 13. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," and again, these are different ways in which God chastens the people of Israel. Yes. God did this on purpose so that they would know that they are living outside of His will. And so God says to Solomon, He says, if there ever comes a day in the history of the people of Israel that the rains have ceased, or that the locusts have devoured your crops, or there's pestilence, the people are dying because of some type of disease, He said, if my people, under those circumstances, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God is saying here, the reason for the plights of verse number 13 is the sins of the people. I don't know that God operates today in the exact same way. I don't know if the lack of rain means that God is judging the land. That may be the case. But I would have no way to determine that. I know there are some preachers who attribute every natural disaster to the sins of the people in that region. That may be the case. But I don't know how they would know. Because those natural disasters happen in every part of the world, amongst people who don't fear God and people who do fear God. This is something that people have always been confused about. And I can understand it partly because of look what we have here. But again, this seems to be something that was applied specifically to the nation of Israel. When the rains dried up in Israel in the Old Testament, that was the judgment of God. But that's not necessarily the case amongst nations today. But I tell you what, if I'm a nation and we're lacking natural resources like water, I think I might contemplate my own spiritual condition to try to see whether or not I'm to blame for what's taking place. So again, God says if there's a problem, this is what you need to do. I think we recognize that spiritually speaking, there is a problem in our churches in America. You know, I'm told from time to time that there are revivals breaking out in other parts of the world. The preacher at the youth rally mentioned that there was revival in the Philippines or in other Asian areas, where thousands of people have been saved, hundreds of thousands have heard the gospel message. They say in China, in some areas of China, there is revival. I know down in Mexico, the people are much more receptive to the gospel than people are in America. But when you look at the spiritual condition of the churches of America, there's a problem. Spiritually speaking, the blessings of God have stopped coming down from heaven. It talks about the locusts devouring the land here. Well, there's something devouring God's people and causing them to fail left and right. There's a problem. There's compromise on every side. There's the denial of the fundamentals of the faith amongst people almost in every denomination. We seem to be more focused on results and numbers today in America rather than faithfulness, fidelity to God's Word. There's a problem. And some people recognize that and they desire to see revival. And if there ever was a formula for revival, perhaps it's found here. Now, I don't necessarily believe there is a formula. But I tell you what is found in verse number 14 includes some good steps for us to take if we want to be in a better position to experience revival. You can really break this verse up into two different divisions. One with the heading if, the other with the heading then. You see, if, while it's only a little two-letter word, the word is very significant. It means that everything that follows the then is conditional. We desire to hear from heaven. We desire for God to forgive us of our sin. We desire for God to, spiritually speaking, heal our land. But if those things were to take place in the nation of Israel, there were some conditions that they were going to have to meet. Likewise, if we are to experience revival and God's blessings, I believe that there are some conditions as God's people that we must meet. Because notice the verse, if my people, God's not talking about the heathen. Not talking about the pagans. He didn't say to Israel, you know what, if you don't have any water, maybe you should look to the nations around you, Babylon, that's Egypt. Right. Look at how wicked they are. Perhaps that's the reason. No, he told them, you need to turn inwardly. And you need to look at yourselves. If my people... This is why preachers will often say, if there's going to be revival, it's going to start with God's people. Do you realize that in spite of how ungodly our culture gets, we as God's people can still experience revival in our lives and in our churches? I don't care if the world is ungodly. I don't care if the vast majority of Americans are more interested in American Idol than attending church. I don't care if they're more interested in watching the football game than they are singing the praises of Zion. God's people can still have revival. That's the type of behavior God expects from the lost world.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's not what He expects from His people.
Amen.
He expects more from them. And so He says, if my people, which are called by my name. In Old Testament Israel was. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and it says that the nation of Israel were God's people. And the nations around, they knew that. Israel was the God of Jehovah. But you know what? As New Testament believers, today we're God's people. We're called saints, which means the holy ones. That's what God calls us, saints. He calls us His children. He calls us His people. We are followers of Christ. We are called the body of Christ. We're His people. We represent Him. We're His ambassadors. And as God's people, if we're not witnessing spiritual blessings, it's up to us to take action. It's up to us to take action. Revival's not going to start in Washington, D.C. It's not going to start at the town square. If there's going to be revival, it's going to start in Bible-believing churches just like this one. If my people, which are called by my name, that's talking about us within these four walls. What do we need to do? It says, humble ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And it's not talking about us humbling ourselves before other human beings, other lost people or other believers. It's talking about humbling ourselves before God. And how we can specifically do that is indicated in the next few phrases. If we'll humble ourselves, then number one, pray, which demonstrates a dependence upon God. Mark it down. When somebody has no prayer life, it's because they absolutely see no need to depend upon God. They've determined that they can do everything in and of their own might and power. And it's only when we recognize the fact that we are totally dependent upon God that we will pray. So as His people, what do we need to do? We need to pray. Humble ourselves before God and pray. We need to be just like that importunate widow and not give up. not give up. You know, some people are so eager to experience revival that when they don't see it, what do? They stop with the methods and the message that they had been preaching all along, and they compromise. Charismatics, what do? They bring in lively music, and that gets everybody, you know, up and going, and they think, hey, look, revival. No, it's not revival. What do some places do? Have carnivals. Sell elephant ears. Get the whole community to come out for it and say, wow, look, we're experiencing revival. I don't know if that's revival. You know what we need to do if we're not seeing revival? We need to just keep plodding on. Keep pressing on. Preaching the gospel. Being faithful to witness. Getting sin out of our lives. That we would be in a position to experience revival. And then he says, and seek my face. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God's people need to humble themselves by praying and by seeking his face. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I wonder how many could sincerely express those same words. One thing have I desired. One thing. And what was that one thing? To dwell in the house of the Lord. To be able to fellowship and gaze upon the one who gave his life for me. You know, sometimes I wonder if my disgust and what I witness is wrong or not. I mean, I see people and they have so much zeal in regards to certain things. I mean, some of them, I mean, they wholeheartedly are fighting the cause of breast cancer. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they lost a loved one. And that's why they're so zealous in their fight for breast cancer. There are others who are zealous in feeding the unfortunate, feeding those that are hungry, maybe even specifically the children that are hungry, and they put forth a great amount of effort to push that cause. And people push all types of humanitarian causes. They get behind so many different things. And yet to me, those things really are not the most important cause. There's people with autism. One particular person I know, most of his life seems to be dedicated to the pursuit of fighting for those with autism. I mean, it's a good thing. Yes, you need people to do that. And the individual is a Christian. Professing Christian. It seems to me our one cause as a believer should be to know God. And to know more of His Word. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We need to seek God. James 4:8 says to the New Testament believer, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise, but notice who has to initiate things. The believer. Draw nigh to God. And then he, in response to that, will draw nigh to you. God always acts in response to our actions. That's why I say revival is no accident. It will happen on purpose as we do humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God and walk towards Him. It says also that we need to turn from our wicked ways. And you know what? I don't have to stand up here tonight and go over a list of wicked things that we might be committing. If there are things in our lives that are not right, we know what they are. And those are the things that I'm talking about under this point tonight. If we want revival, we're going to have to turn from our wicked ways. It's just that easy. Turn from them. And I tell you what, if we will seek the face of God, we will turn from our wicked ways. We'll stop fornication, pornography, drugs, soap operas. We'll cease a lack of faithfulness, a lack of tithing, a lack of Bible reading. We'll stop that stuff if we're seeking the face of God. Preachers, I've always heard preachers say that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible.
That's right.
Do you read the Bible? I hope so. If not, is it because you know it's going to step on your toes? It's going to convict you of what you're doing that's wrong? Again, we say we want to see revival. Again, this isn't a guaranteed formula here in this verse whereby we might see revival. But I tell you what, if we will put into practice some of the admonitions that it gives us, we'll certainly be in a much better position to experience revival. If we, those of us that are saved, would humble ourselves before God, praying, seeking His face, turning from our wicked ways, then He says, in response to that, I will hear from heaven. He said, I will hear from heaven. God's waiting on us. God's waiting on His people. We say we want revival. He says, you know what? I am more than willing to give you as an individual or as a church revival. But here's what you need to do first. Notice verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. God says, I will listen. I'm going to shut the windows of heaven, keep the rain from falling, to drive you to your knees, to confess your sins before me, that you might get things right and experience my blessings again. God, if there truly is revival in other parts of the world and yet we don't see it in America, is it because God has turned off the spiritual blessings to bring us to our knees to confess our sins that we might enjoy His blessings once again? Most likely that's exactly the case. God says that if it's conditional, if we'll do these things, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our politicians have a lot of repenting to do. Athletes have a lot of repenting to do. But so does God's people. We have a lot of repenting to do. And if we don't think so, we're probably not walking close enough to God. I guess the longer I live, the more surprised I am that God can ever use any human being. Especially this one, standing in the pulpit. And maybe He hasn't used me, I don't know. If He's not able to, I wouldn't be surprised. Because I'm just a sinful creature. And the more I study and read the Bible, the more I realize how utterly sinful I am. And when I try to seek Him, I just find how far I am from His standards of righteousness. But that's a good state of mind to be in. Tender before the Lord so that you can repent of your sins. Do we want to see revival? Well, it's up to us. God wants to bring it. But we've got to be willing to meet the conditions. So you take some time this week, and even this very night, and examine your own life to see whether or not you have humbled yourself before God. Have you been praying, seeking His face, turning from your wicked ways? Because if you have, then we might be able to experience revival. But if not, chances are we'll not see revival as an individual, nor will we see one as a church body. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this wonderful verse that's found in the Bible. And God, I pray that we would take heed to the instruction that's found in it tonight. Lord, we certainly are an unclean people, undeserving of Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, our nation sanctions the murder of unborn children. Our nation, in many parts, condones immoral sexual behavior. Our nation allows spouses to divorce for no reason. Our nation is hostile towards the things of Christ and yet wants to be friends with false religions such as Islam. Lord, therefore, we're in the need of repentance. God, forgive our land. Forgive our nation for its greed and its selfishness, for its corruption. But God, even in the churches across this land, there's compromise. Even the message of the gospel is being limited or neglected altogether. And God, forgive the men and ministries who compromise in this way. Lord, in many churches, there's fleshly music, carnal music, fleshly environments. God, forgive us for that. But Lord, even in Bible-believing churches, where the message of the gospel is still preached, where sacred music is still sang, there's plenty of sins in need of repentance. Lord, many times we are filled with pride as we look down at the rest of the world for not believing right, not acting right. Many times we focus on externals rather than the condition of our heart, and thereby we become hypocrites. Forgive us of this. Lord, forgive us of our coldness towards the need of sinners. Help us again to be filled with zeal for the lost and to see them saved. And Lord, whatever, I just pray that You forgive this church of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord, and where we have not done like we should, help us to repent and do right. God, I want to see You bring revival to my heart and to this church and to this community. Even use these meetings next week to stir the people of this church and the people of this community, that we would see great things from Thy hand. God, help Your people tonight to look at the verse that's before us and determine whether or not they have met these conditions to be in a place to experience revival. So God, take the message tonight. Use it for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people, and use it even to woo the lost unto Thyself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Stand with me.